This is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, on that day it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. Today we continue this series on how to be a neighbor. What it means to love our neighbor as ourselves, to follow Christ's call to love God with all we have and all we are and love our neighbor as ourselves. Each week at the end of worship, when we say together our statement of mission, we say we are sent to share God's love in the world. And today we have a text about being sent out. Right? Last week we talked about loving our neighbors begins with getting to know our neighbors and how we are to follow the example of the Good Samaritan to see our neighbor in need and to draw near rather than pass on by. This week, we're going to talk some about knowing our neighborhood, about the place to which we are sent. So here's a little bit about Lake Travis, about our area, and I'm going to blend some stuff, and I joined some statistics from several zip codes in our area. But about right here where we are, let's get to know our neighborhood. Did you know that roughly 50% of the households in our area, in all three of the zip codes I looked at, about 50% are married couples with no kids at home? About half of the people that live in our area fit that description. Did you know that water is a pretty big issue out this way? Right? Maybe you do because we've been putting in all these water detention and retention permits and things. But being able to get potable water to clean ourselves and our things to drink and cook with is a fairly scarce resource out this way. There was a lot of things on the ballot this last week, right, that had to do with water and creating more water zones and all of this stuff. You probably know that we're pretty fast growing out here in Lakeway Bee Cave in this section of Spicewood. Did you know that, though, that our fastest growing demographic is people age 60 plus? That most of the people who are moving out this way are 60 or older. We're in one of the fastest growing school districts in the state, but most of the students that are coming in, most of the increase in students happens at the middle school and high school levels, which tells us there are fewer families with young kids compared to, or elementary age kids compared to middle school and high school students. Like, if you look at kindergarten enrollment versus fifth grade enrollment in our elementary schools, you'll see the exact same thing. And you know, Austin is still ranked as this really fast-growing city, and it's still one of the fastest-growing cities for people age 35 and under. Which may tell us a little bit about why some of the suburbs, not only Lake Travis, but Leander and Cedar Park and Pflugerville, have this really fast-growing age range of, you know, 60-plus. We got a lot of young people who moved in and have kids and live in the city, and a lot of grandparents who might be moving down. Or parents of people in their 40s and 50s moving close by. Right? We spent some time in Sunday school this morning asking, mapping our neighborhood, and I'll show them to you next week, but we asked, you know, where do people gather around here? In our immediate vicinity and as we go out. Do we know those places? And what do we know of those people? What do we not know of those people? Did you know that Helping Hand Crisis Ministry served 106 families, 106 households in the month of October? And that included 353 total family members that they supported. And that those people live in Travis County, and most of them kind of right out here, between here and heading toward, Spur 191 and Oakies. Do we see our neighbors and what's going on? We talked about some of the lower income housing. It's just kind of tucked in the middle, back away from different places, you know, behind a gas station or far enough off Pace Bend Road where you don't really see some of it. Do we know this neighborhood, this place that we have been seeing? Yeah, we do. We talked about in Sunday school some of the ways that people know us, right? The HEB in Lakeway knows Spirit in the Hills Lutheran Church. You know how? We put in our Spirit blessings order there and order food to feed. What is it, 20, we're up to 20, 26 students this year at Spicewood Elementary over the weekends where we pick up the food, and they know who we are. They know that we're participating in this feeding ministry. West Cypress Hills Elementary School knows us because we have literacy partners that go and read there, and the school coordinator for literacy partners is a member of our congregation for West Cypress Hills. We have teachers and we mentor in some of the other areas. We know our neighbors and our neighborhood. But we don't know everything about our neighbors and neighborhood. And we are sent to this place. Each week we close worship with a sending, right? And we say we're sent out to share God's love in the world, and that at least starts as we take these first steps outside the door and we get in our car and we drive to wherever we are going. I mentioned a couple weeks ago, we were talking about what is church, and I said, you know, when you leave the building, you don't leave the church. You are the church. Where you are during the week, if you ask me where Spirit in the Hills is on Tuesday, I could tell you this location, I could tell you our new property place, but I would also say, you know, they're at work, they're in the schools, they're reading with people, they're doing prison ministry, they're getting through life together and loving their family and serving their neighbors and answering phone calls from people who are in distress and contemplating self-harm and suicide and staying with those teenagers through the whole night into the morning. That's where Spirit in the Hills is each day of this week. We're sent out to this place, and Jesus says, this is a place where I myself am intending to go, where Jesus already is, and where he will be, and that this harvest is plentiful. There's not great statistics, but the best estimate and guess is that around 70 to 80% of people in these in Lakeway, Bee Cave, and Spicewood are not participating in a worship service this weekend. And the same will be true next weekend. And some of those people might change and things, but if you talk about, you know, actively involved participants in a worshiping community, we hear the harvest is plentiful. Think about the people who are yearning for community and for a connection with you, and even more so a connection with Jesus Christ, who is the life and light of the world. Did you read the quote from Archbishop Desmond Tutu on the front of your bulletin this week, right? We had one from Luther last week about neighboring, and today we have from Archbishop Desmond Tutu. He says, the scriptures speak of a God who, when you worship him, turns you around to be concerned for your neighbor. God does not tolerate a relationship that excludes your neighbor. Our relationship with God turns us toward our neighbor and our neighborhood. To go and be neighbors, to forge relationships, to build and strengthen on the relationships that we already have. To get to know one another and to be in relationship with this Lake Travis area. With this neighborhood too. And so we're sent out. We're in this place where you've heard a few more stats. Maybe you already knew all that. And you're like, yeah, I read the school district demographic study and all of its 300 pages. Maybe not. Maybe you learned something this morning. We're sent out. And how are we sent? We're sent into this plentiful harvest to heal and to offer good news that the kingdom of God has come near. That God's way of love and life is at hand. To offer an invitation to participate in it now and forever. To experience two-way hospitality where you receive what's set before you. To accept your neighbor's invitation to dinner. And to eat what they put before you. And not to move around more than you need to trying to figure out who hosts the best dinner party. But to really spend some time and get to know your neighbors. And to offer them hospitality too. We're sent to go and be good neighbors, to show mercy, to share good news, to bring healing, to shine light when it seems like there's only shadow. To talk of a God who brings life even from death and something from nothing. And we do this work together. We do it with Christ who goes ahead of us, who comes behind us, and who is with us on the way. And we do it as a congregation as much as we do it as individuals or households. So that we can learn to say and mean this beautiful message. We've been watching some Mr. Rogers lately. And you know, the movie's coming up, right? And we're gonna go see it. Us. Everybody in this room, right? Tuesday, November 26th, you're coming with me. We're gonna go see A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. We've been watching. And you know what really struck me? He says, I've always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I have always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. And I wonder what it means for us to be able to say that and to grow into meaning exactly that, right? He says, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? I've always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I have always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. When we're together and when we're away. Let's appreciate this neighborhood that we have been planted in. This piece of God, of the world that God so loves, that we are called to love with that same love and mercy and care. As we get to know our neighbors in this place that we have been sent to and planted in. To love our neighbor as ourself and to live out our faith each day to proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near. And did you notice the message? And this will, here's your teaser for next week. Next week we're talking about when it's really hard to be a neighbor. Because sometimes it really is. Did you notice the message is the same whether you get rejected or accepted? The kingdom of God has come near. God's way of life and love and resurrection is here. Whether you're accepting it or rejecting it, and that's the reality in which we live. It's the thing for which we pray when we say, God, may your will be done and your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's the good news we go to share in this world when we are sent to share that love and life and that good news. Thanks be to God.